Okay, so there's something going on here that we're going to try to understand a little more about. More than 500 inmates are currently in the Cook County Jail, and they should not be there. Many should be in the state prison, but aren't, because the Illinois Department of Corrections has refused to accept them. They're citing COVID concerns. So Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart is asking the state's highest court to order the governor, order the Department of Corrections to take these inmates that they're supposed to be housing. I'm trying to find out a little more what's going on here. Let's ask Sheriff Dart. He's on the phone line here, and it sounds like quite a battle, Sheriff Dart. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
No, and thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Okay, COVID concerns. I get it. I understand during the height of the pandemic, we wouldn't necessarily have wanted to transfer a bunch of inmates around. But now we have vaccines, we have COVID protocols, and I certainly know that you don't want an overcrowded situation at the county jail either. What has been the discussion here? What are you talking about?
You know, Anna, this whole thing is insane. I honestly, there's this constant drumbeat, you know, follow the science, follow the science. This defies the science. This literally is taking the scientific book, throwing it out the window. Because for 18 months now, you know, not a bad week, a bad month, for 18 months, we've been holding thousands of people, collectively, probably, I don't know, 10,000 people, you know, 5,000 total, you know, that we aren't supposed to have in the place. So that's required us to open up divisions that were closed for years, spend outrageous amounts of overtime money, about $62 million. But the biggest thing, we've had to force overtime. It's called mandating my employees. 54,000 people. So, and I don't have 54,000 employees, but 54,000 people on a given day over the course of this 18 months have been required to do overtime that they didn't want to do, that they want to go home to their family. It's a difficult job enough as it is. If they're they're at the end of their shift, they want to go home, they might have a birthday party, they might have a game to coach, and we tap them on the shoulder and say, you can't go because we don't have anyone to watch this tier, because we are sitting on, right today, just under 600 people that aren't supposed to be with us. So I defy anyone to find any science anywhere that says this is smart. At a time when the Department of Corrections population, so the IDOC, the Illinois Department of Corrections population, is down 10,000 people, and while my population is higher than it was before the pandemic. So, I would love to hear another argument. We've been in discussions, fruitless ones, for 18 months now. They keep telling us, you know, we're going to look at this. They lay out rules. They say, okay, if you follow these rules, we'll take the prisoners. We comply with all of them all the time, and they still will not take these people. And so, you know, we've tried everything. You know, lawsuit was not the first thing I decided to do. We tried talking with these folks for weeks and months and you name it, and have gotten nowhere. And so finally it was like, we can't continue to do this. Our employees deserve to go home. Our employees deserve to be in environments where they know that when their shift's over, they can go home, and not just sitting on people for no reason, once again, defying every part of science.
IDOC is required by law to accept, care, and keep safe those sentenced to its custody or awaiting a parole hearing. That's the other thing that was pointed out by Channel 9 WGN-TV covered this story, that some of these folks are actually awaiting a parole hearing or actually should be freed, are due to be let out of prison, but they can't be because they haven't gotten into the state prison system.
Yeah, so they can't get down to the prison system to have their parole issue adjudged. And so about half of the 600 people I have now are people who, if they were to go down there, they could have their hearing. And in many of the cases, they find that it's a technical violation, and they put them back on parole, and they can be released then. They can go on bond for, if they have a new case, then go on bond, whatever the situation might be. But they can't even get the hearing. They can't get any of this stuff done. And when COVID first hit, we told them, please, just bring your hearings down here. And for a few months, they had hearings down here where they were able to shuffle paperwork. So there's so many people that have been sitting in the jail for so long, they've already met all the requirements. They've served their whole sentence sitting there with me. And the first couple of months, they had one of their employees come down here so they could just do the paperwork here. About, I don't know, 8 months ago, 9 months ago now, they stopped doing that. And so now I have to put people on buses. Once again, defy the science again, put them on buses to drive them down to Springfield when they will take them, which they won't even take them half the time, just so they can fill out some paperwork to be released. I mean, none of this makes any sense. We never got a reasonable answer. As they said, that first they laid out some rules saying you have to quarantine people, you have to test them. We've done all of that for every one of these people. And here's the other part too, Anna. So it represents about 10% of my population in the jail. Mm-hmm. They are committing 40% of the acts of violence in the jail. The fights are being done by this 10% population. Why? They don't care. They're going down to prison. They don't care if they're going to, you know, pick up another case here in Cook County for an aggravated battery. They don't care. And so, I mean, what this has been doing to our staff is horrific. And just the complete disregard and indifference is amazing. And just, as I say, defying the science over and over again.
Now, you said you've had some conversations back and forth, and a lot of them. Have you spoken with the governor's office about this, too? Has there been a response there?
Yeah, we've been in conversations with the governor's office from day one, from the day when they called us and gave us all of, I think it was 36-hour notice to say we're shutting the prison system down. And think about that, Anna. There was no point during this pandemic where I said, well, you know, because of the pandemic, we're shutting the jail system down. You know, Chicago, the rest of the towns and villages, you're going to have to keep people locked up in your local lockups there because we're just shutting things down. Of course you wouldn't do that. I mean, that would, once again, exacerbate their problems. Might make my job easier, exacerbate their problems. Well, they gave us 36-hour notice. They're shutting the place down, and they did that. And then we had conversations, well, you can't do that. And then we filed an initial lawsuit. We won the first round and lost the second one. And they came up with some rules saying, if you follow these rules, we'll take people. We follow the rules, they won't take people. And so we really don't. I would love to tell you, well, here's the bone of contention. There is none. They know that these are their people. They know it's defying science. And they just keep saying, well, we have an executive order. We're just not going to do it.
And the executive order is what? It comes from the governor that because of, quote, protocols, COVID protocols, they don't have to accept them? What's the
deal?
They
don't have to accept them. Yeah, Anna, that's the beauty of it. This is where the insanity kicks in. They don't have to accept them unless we comply with the following protocols. And we've complied with all of those. We comply with all of them all the time on everybody, and they still won't take them. I'm literally left with the notion of taking people down there and just literally open the bus door, handcuffing people to, you know, the building or something, I suppose, and see what, you know, I would never do anything like that. But I mean, it's like we'll send people down there and they won't take them.
Wow. I don't know what to make of this. What do you think at its heart of hearts is going on here? Is this a money-saving move? Is this
I think the money-saving is part of it, but I think the other part of it is that as long as they are not in their custody, that's one less headache they have. They don't have to worry about, you know, space. They don't have to worry about COVID restrictions. They don't have to worry about liability issues. I can't conceive of any other reason why you would do this to somebody. Because when the COVID first hit, they asked us, before they shut the prison down, we're having some issues here. Would you mind holding your deliveries for a week? We said, we'll hold them for 10 days. Well, absolutely. We'll work together with you guys. And we did. And so why all of a sudden they would take this other route where they just say, this is what we're going to do, and there's nothing you can do about it. Just thumb their nose at us. And as I said, the money obviously is a problem, you know, $62 million. But for my staff, to literally, they have families. And this is a tricky job. And at the end of an 8-hour shift, to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, yeah, I know you got that birthday party for your child. They'll have another third birthday. Don't you worry about it. You have to stay here because we have no one to watch anyone. That's horrible.
And today, no, those aren't.
It's just rotten.
Not easy questions to have or conversations to have with your staff and the cost and the whole thing. And it just seems like there needs to be some sort of resolution to this whole thing. Can I ask though about the COVID situation at the jail? And if you are so informed about in the prison, how are things going?
With us, we have the detainees are vaccinated at about, we have about 65% of them are vaccinated. About 59% of the staff is fully vaccinated. We presently have right now about 20 detainees who have COVID. 18 of them came in with COVID. So we test you when you come in off the street, when you're dropped off with us. 18 of the 20 came in. And that's been the common thread, Anna, despite what some silliness was purported out there that we were generating COVID out of the jail, apparently out of thin air. The majority, almost all of the COVID cases we get in the jail walk in. So after someone's arrested, we test them and it turns out they have COVID. We put them in isolation and we give them treatment if they need it. and offer the vaccination. So right now, out of about 6,000 people, we have, I think it's 20, 21 cases, and only two of them are ones where they may have come in and they may have gotten it while they were in custody. The rest of them all walked in off the street with it.
Well, that's a pretty good thing to be able to pull off in these times. So it's not required if you're in prison or in the jail to be vaccinated?
You can't legally do it. And so we do lots of videos. We've had Reverend Jackson's been awesome. He's come in before he got sick, and he's done videos. We've had lots of doctors. The CIRMAC health people are amazing. They do clinics where they tell people about the pros of it and things like that. And then, frankly, if you don't get vaccinated, you don't get to do in-person visitations and things like that. You can't do certain things then. And so collectively, we're one of the highest vaccinated places in the country. There's a couple that are a little bit higher, but not many. And so it's been just hard work of my staff and CIRMAC people who've convinced people to get vaccinated. And you think about it, a lot of the communities, are at 20% vaccination rate, 30, and we're at 65, 66 in the jail.
How about that? Hey, you mentioned Jesse Jackson. I understand he was just released today from the hospital after his very long battle with COVID, even while vaccinated. And I know his wife was not vaccinated. They're both on the mend, and that's good to hear.
So oh, it's great. He's done so much to help us over here, and it's been great. He just comes in every time we ask. He's here helping.
Yeah, that's good. That is good to hear. And it's I'm glad that I know there were a lot of concerns among his family, given their age and that sort of thing. So they're on the mend. And that's good to hear. Hey, if you're not going to be dropping the inmates off at the Illinois Department of Corrections, what is your next move? Wait to see what the Supreme Court decides. Do you think that there'll be some sort of resolution soon?
I do think, because we have had obviously some lawyers that are smarter lawyers than I look at this, and they just don't see how this can continue to go on there, because of the arbitrariness of it is outrageous. And once again, if there was something where we were going butting up against science, we might have a flaw in our theory, but we don't. I mean, everything says this does not make any sense. It is literally making COVID worse, not better.
Yeah. Well, I wish you luck in this battle. It seems as if you're on the side of the right, and that this needs to get resolved. So let's keep us posted. Okay, Sheriff?
I shall. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Good talking with you. Sheriff Tom Dart there, Cook County Sheriff here. Wow. What a legal battle that'll be.